And now, Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN Radio.
Where the fuck is Trump?
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo, TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Give me your boom, boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Del?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on. The mic!
And we putting it on wax! It's the new style!
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What do?
We get a people! What they want!
Schoolboy Q joins us later. We're going to be talking a lot about Logo Lillard and the legendary moment that he had last night. But first, Jalen Rose, I want you to be honest. I'm asking you a question. Will you be honest in your response?
Absolutely.
Did you almost forget to say center stage on the mic during the intro? I saw your face.
Never.
Did you almost forget? Did you
Never.
Almost forget? I saw
Never.
Your eyes look up. You were looking
Every
for something.
Every time I do that
there.
Moment, it
There's
takes me back to Joe Louis Arena catching the bus from the Northwest Side, the Finkel bus, to watch the Beastie Boys. They were on tour with LL Cool J, Nitro, I think. No, it was Run DMC's
Rock the Bells,
tour.
Right? Rock the Bells tour.
It was Run DMC, LL, Beastie Boys. Slick Rick the Ruler came out in the big chair. It's just classic. Classic memories. So that's what I was doing. I was reminiscing.
The Beastie Boys are my favorite musical group of all time. And one of my favorite musical artists right now, Schoolboy Q. You've heard Num Num Juice. You've heard Chopsticks. He released a new song today, Crash. The album comes out Thursday night at midnight. He'll be joining us in studio. But Jalen Rose, we need to talk about Damian Lillard. You gave him a new nickname. What was that nickname?
Logo Lillard.
And Jalen, he didn't just live up to it. He cemented it. Game tied at 115. Dame Lillard with the basketball. And let's take a look at what happens next. He's just dribbling out the clock. And the man you call Logo Lillard did that. Jalen Rose, this was an unbelievable shot. What did you think of this moment from Lillard?
It was a terrific, triumphant moment for Dame. And it embodies what so many people like myself love about sports, but also how we continue to debate things in sports. And here's what I mean. Just this time last year, I was defending the honor of Dame because for the second consecutive year, they had gotten swept out of the playoffs and people were questioning, was he even better than Drew Holiday? Okay, so all of a sudden you get a chance to play against Russell Westbrook, a former MVP, a guy that's averaged triple-doubles for three straight years, Paul George, who's also an MVP candidate this year, who've already beat you four times this season. He started off the series, as I said on this fine program, by throwing a haymaker. He shot the ball from 35 feet on the right side, and he knocked it down. It sent the message to not only his teammates, but to the opponent. And last night, that was the knockout punch that sends OKC home for the third consecutive year in the first round.
You know, I didn't consider that, Jalen. The very first possession of this series, he walked the ball up, didn't pass, didn't call play, and just pulled up from 35. The very last possession of the series, he kind of did the same thing. He bookended the series with unbelievable shots. Yep. The thing about that shot that was so crazy, and also just, let's make it bigger the way that you did, the way we talk about sports. Do you know what the conversation is today? Is Russell Westbrook the problem for the Thunder? Russell Westbrook had 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 14 assists. If that ball just rims out to the left and the Thunder end up winning, we don't talk about is Russell Westbrook the problem. We celebrate his playoff triple-double. Like, this is just a game of inches, and today is a day for Dame and the Trailblazers to celebrate, but let's not talk about the Thunder like there's a big problem. There isn't. The Thunder are fine. They're going to be fine. Like, I don't think this is like a bad thing for Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. But one thing I do love about this particular shot It's just how much Dame loved putting that team away. Just how you could tell he wanted it after game three. The Blazers noticed the way that the baby rocking and the talking and the jawing, and they were just saving up for this moment so he could wave goodbye to the Thunder. I absolutely loved it so much.
And also for young athletes out there and just people who can hear my voice, I want people to still pay attention to something. Honor amongst thieves is not still lost in today's sports. Dame been a terror since the public school era. Yep. There's so many people walking around the face of the earth today and like Dame's underrated. As an MVP, all NBA voter, I voted him all NBA the last couple of seasons. As a matter of fact, for those who have not been paying attention, Adidas commercial, Hulu commercial, max deal with the Portland Trail Blazers, committed to not joining a super team because he knew these moments were in his future. It was just a matter of time, space, and the opportunity. And for those like Paul George who question whether that's a good or bad shot, let me also say this. That is a bad shot. Okay, let me say it one more time. That is a bad shot.
Okay.
Except for if you Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Kyrie Irving, or James Harden. For the rest of the world out there, yes, that's a bad shot. Yep. There are people that are entering that category like a Trae Young in the future. But for right now, that category is for a select few, especially when you're talking about doing it off the dribble versus off the catch.
It was such a good shot, and I loved the celebration afterwards. The first thing he did was look over to the Thunder bench and give them a little wave goodbye. After the game, he referenced that. Let's listen to Video Game Dame.
I mean, the game, the series was over. You know, that was it. And I was just waving goodbye to him. After game three, you know, Dennis Schroeder was out there pointing to his wrist. They was out there doing all these celebrations and doing all this stuff, and we kept our composure. And after one win, that was what they decided to do. And we was just like, okay, what we want to do is win four games. And then when we win those four games, it's not going to be nothing to talk about. So that's what that was.
I love it. That's what they did after one game. We wanted to win four games. And after we win four games, there's not going to be nothing to talk about. What do you think about Dame and his composure throughout the series?
I really appreciate his maturity. And also, of course, you want to stay true to your character. And a lot of players are demonstrative and outgoing. And rightfully so, if that's who you are. But it's refreshing to me to see a guy like Dame who doesn't deal with the emotional turbulence that comes with the game, the post game, the situations that happen throughout the game. And in an era where we're so enamored with the killer crossover and trying to break ankles, the guy can actually miss the shot, but yet we're still going to show whether he broke somebody's ankles and they fell down. When you watch Dame play, he's economic with the ball. He's going north and south. If he has a shot, he shoots it. If it's a pick and roll and he can split it, he will. Other than that, he's getting on balance and he's trying to get downhill. It's not really highlights per se. So I like the fact that his game has grown to the point where now people are appreciating it. And you already said it. For those that follow this show, they already know. We've had multiple nicknames for the Portland Trail Blazers. We called their backcourt the Mama's Boys because him and CJ was terrific. And shout out to Mo Harkless. He played really well and he's not getting enough credit.
Shout out.
Video Game Dame, Logo Lillard, Dame Dollar, Dame Time. Like, we've understood that he was a terrific performer. And that knock on the door is Dame now entering superstardom. And it doesn't happen when you get swept out of the playoffs in back-to-back years or when you lose to the Thunder for four times this year. It happens when you make a 50-piece with five rebounds, five assists, and 10 threes, something that no player in the history of the league has done.
Well, he wasn't just good last night. He was great through this whole series. Let's take a look at some of the numbers that Dame put up. Look at this in the playoffs. 33 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, over 2 steals, 3-point percentage almost at 50%. Dame is now a superstar. That signature moment makes you a household name. Can he keep this up through the second round?
I think he can keep it up because his performance, while they struggled in the playoffs the last couple of years, The Portland Trailblazers were a 3 seed last year, mm-hmm. as well as this year. We just view it, for some strange reason a lot of people do, as an upset. This ain't no upset. Like, Terry Stotts has done a terrific job with that basketball team, having one all-star. Aminu did a terrific job of playing defense, in particular on that last play against Russ that he forced to miss. How about adding Cantor late in the season? He can now play quality minutes when you lose Nurkic. So there are a lot of different levels to the Portland Trailblazers and them advancing and seeing if they can continue to play good basketball. And I'm a believer. Let's see how far they can take it.
I'm so excited about this team and that shot.
Yeah.
Let's get the people there. My son, Bus Route, goes by what he calls the Knicks Stadium every single day. And he was telling me about how it goes by Penn Station and all the trains that are at Penn Station. And he was talking about Madison Square Garden. He said, Daddy, that's where we go to Knicks games. I want to go to a Knicks game. And I had to tell him, son, the Knicks are trash. They didn't make the playoffs. But we'll be back next year. And he was like, well, what about hockey? I was like, well, there's not too many of those. So you know what I said? I said, son, maybe we'll go to a Red Bulls game. Maybe we'll go to an MLS soccer game. And he seemed excited about that. I told him about the New York Liberty and all the live events that we can go to in New York City, the sporting events. And where do I go to get tickets for these events? SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best. This show is sponsored by SeatGeek because the ticket industry hasn't changed in a long time. There's so many big companies that have been around forever, and they don't really care about making the experience easier for the customer. But with SeatGeek, it's different. SeatGeek goes out, and they look for the best deals and put all of those big companies, all those ticket companies, all of their best deals, they put them all in one place, right on the SeatGeek app. SeatGeek is a ticket company where the customer comes first. They have more than 50,000 five-star reviews in the App Store. SeatGeek is focused on making your experience as easy as possible. They pull in those tickets, millions of tickets from all over the web, and they rate the deals on a scale from 1 to 10. And they display them on an interactive seat map, which is so easy to use. Red spot, don't buy it. Green spot, maybe. Light green spot. Green spot with a circle, 1 to 10. If this deal's a 10, you just buy it. It's so easy. I use SeatGeek all the time. I have the app on my phone. And guess what? I've got good news for you. All of our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek supports our show, so make sure that you support our show when you use SeatGeek. Use our promo code Jacoby for $10 off your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app to your phone. Whether you're going to concert tickets, sports event, or comedy show, whatever you want, when you go to check out, use the promo code Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, and you'll get $10 off your first ticket with SeatGeek. Jalen Rose, I'm so excited we get to talk about Dame Lillard again and the shot. Not only did he pull up from 37 to hit a three to send the Thunder home, he did it against one of the best defenders in the league in Paul George. After the game, Paul George was asked about the shot. Let's listen to what he said.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. Live with that.
Ooh, seemed a little salty about it. Jalen Rose, he said bad shot like four times. Do you agree that it was a bad shot?
Yes, it is a bad shot.
What?
Except for a handful of people. And I'm going to try to rattle their names off the top of my head. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. James Harden. Dame Lillard. Those are the guys off the... James Harden. Those are the guys with range, game on the line, tied, that could take that shot. And the coach wouldn't think twice about it. The players on the team wouldn't think about it, whether it was a make or a miss. He just so happened to knock it down, and it was the game winner.
It was a deep shot, but Paul George thinks it's a bad shot. Well, guess what? When you watch the play, Paul George is pretty far away from him, and then you can see him get the, Dame gets a look in his eye, and Paul George actually closes out before he shoots. So it's like, Paul, if you really think that's a bad shot, then why did you close out? Why did you step up? Why did you get closer to him? Why did you do that, Paul? Answer that question. He also said he doesn't care what anybody says, so I guess he's not watching Jalen and Jacoby.
And Kyrie Irving belongs in that conversation, too. Those five people can pull up. Kyrie, Steph, KD, Harden, and Lillard. Those five individuals can pull up from 37 without hesitation, and teammates and coaches will not think twice about it.
Let's not forget that the Thunder were also a victim of a 37-foot three from Steph Curry last season in the regular season in a great game. So, Jalen, the Thunder are out of the playoffs, and the Trailblazers advance. They will play the winner of this series, the only close series that we really have in the first round. The Denver Nuggets in Denver beat the Spurs to take a 3-2 lead. They were powered by some good play of both Jokic and Murray. You see connecting right there. Jalen Rose, do you think Denver, after a tough start to the series, has started to figure it out?
Absolutely. You know how I feel about the Nuggets, and it starts with their anchor, Jokic, who's going to get you buckets, but he's going to get you boards, and we know he's a terrific passer. But now their starting backcourt seems to be getting confident. Mm-hmm. Harris is healthy. He's playing well. Murray's had a terrific season. I think he found his confidence. But when they had injuries during the regular season, they now got a chance to build out depth. So you move Will Barton to the bench. He's effective. Morris has been effective all year. Beasley has been effective all year. They didn't have a big game this night from Craig, but he played well in game four when he got into the starting lineup. So now you have that level of depth of guys like Plumlee and Millsap. So they have a team that's confident and feel like they have what it takes. It seems like this series still is going to go seven, but you can't count out the Spurs on their home floor in the game six.
No, you cannot. I'm glad you mentioned Barton, because he did have 17 off the bench and provided some much-needed scoring for the second unit, and he played pretty well. Jalen, I'm excited for the rest of this series. I also think it will go seven, and I also think it will give the Trailblazers some rest. Yep. Jalen Rose, they're still looking for a head coach in Los Angeles. They've spoken to Monty Williams. They've spoken to Ty Lue. And now they've interviewed somebody else. Jason Kidd has interviewed for the job of head coach. Jalen Rose, what do you think about Jason Kidd's fit in Los Angeles?
I'm thinking about when they're going to interview Juwan Howard. He deserves to be a candidate. And by the way, when we're talking about head coaches, it's blasphemous. It's disrespectful. I can't believe that I'm even using this term. That there's a guy out there that helped build the Golden State Warriors from the ground up in Mark Jackson, and he doesn't have a head coaching job. Like, that's just mind-numbing to me. With that being said, I felt like Jason Kidd did a solid job with the Bucks. He helped Giannis continue to develop, and look at him now. An MVP-level type player, okay? And so, for him to be a candidate with this job, it just shows me a couple of things. Are the Lakers going to pick a coach that may still be there past LeBron? So they're picking for them in theory? Or are they picking a coach knowing that LeBron's going to be there the next three seasons and they don't have any time to waste? I think in this case, you have to choose the latter, which means Ty Lue seems to be the best fit. Now, Monty Williams, the fact that he's a really good coach, and I talked about him and Ime Udoka, who hasn't got an opportunity yet, are going to be fantastic head coaches. And Monty's already shown what he can do. But people can't underestimate, for the Lakers, he has a tie to Anthony Davis. And so Anthony Davis doesn't control his destiny via trade this offseason. Are you going to hire him and hope that that becomes another hook for Anthony Davis if he's not traded to the Lakers? So there are a lot of things at play. It's going to be interesting to see where the Lakers ultimately end up landing.
Interesting, Jalen. I kind of forgot about the Monty Williams-Anthony Davis connection. That because they've got Ty Lue with the LeBron connection, Monty Williams with the Anthony Davis connection. Jason Kidd, like, I don't know. He's not a former Laker, you know, the same way that Ty Lue is. But I still want to hear that they interviewed Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard can get to L.A. You don't even have to buy his own ticket. We need to see a Juwan Howard interview for the Lakers head coaching job. And this leads to some unfounded, irresponsible speculation about free agent Kevin Durant.
Oh, hell.
Jalen Rose, you'll never believe this. But the Los Angeles Lakers don't just have a head coaching position open. They have two max spots open this summer to sign max players. Also, the Los Angeles Clippers have two max spots open. Los Angeles is a destination where players like to play and to live, like Kevin Durant. He has a home in Malibu. But he put that Malibu home up for sale. Jalen Rose, what? I'm going to read way too much into this and say that that guarantees Kevin Durant will not join the Clippers or the Lakers because he put up his house. Is he just trying to sell his house, or is he already decided he's not going to play in Los Angeles?
So if I wanted to be a contrarian, I could also say maybe Malibu is too far to get to his games in downtown LA.
I like what you did. He doesn't have the Kobe helicopter, so he's selling the Malibu house. He's going to live in like Silver Lake or something, or like Los Feliz in the hills in the mansion.
I could say that, the Lakers practice facility and take a really long time.
Now you're understanding the essence of the segment. Now you're understanding the essence of the unfounded irresponsible speculation. Now you're really getting it. Before you fought it, and now you're part of it. I love it. He's selling the Malibu house, not because he's going to play in Los Angeles, but because it is too far from the Staples Center. Traffic. It's like 90 minutes. Maybe he'll get a loft downtown or something. This is great. I love it. You're really understanding how this works now in the media. You've been in the media for such a long time. We take small little nuggets of information and expand them and turn them into large facts. That's what we do. Welcome to the Sausage Factory, Jalen Rose. Ring is a company that makes products that I really believe in. They're helping people. With the Ring products, they make neighborhoods safer. You already might know about their smart video doorbells and the cameras that protect millions of people everywhere, but it's not just that. Ring helps you stay connected to your home anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or a surprise video, you get this alert on your phone, and then you can hear them and you can speak to them all from your phone, no matter where you are in the world. And thanks to the HD video and the two-way audio on Ring's devices, you feel safe that your home is safe every time you leave it. I love Ring. I've got this weird thing with my doorbell. It plays Wish You a Merry Christmas. No matter what the season is, we can't change it to a normal doorbell sound. So anytime I'm sitting around the house, I hear Wish You a Merry Christmas, I know that there's someone downstairs. But instead of going downstairs and looking through a peephole, I just look right on my Ring phone. And there's notification. And I click that and I can see the person. I can talk to the person. I can tell if they're trying to deliver a package. I can tell if they're trying to, you know, get me to buy something from them. I can tell if I want to talk to them or if I don't, if they're friend or foe. Just there from my phone, even if I'm at work. So now when I hear Wish You a Merry Christmas that I still can't change for whatever reason, I look at my phone and I can see who is downstairs. Guess what? My wife ordered some sushi. I'll go downstairs and get it. Sometimes, guess what? I don't know this person. It seemed like a stranger. I didn't order anything. I don't go downstairs. I love Ring so much. And here's the thing. As a listener of Jalen and Jacoby, you can get a special offer on your Ring starter kit that's available right now. It comes with a video doorbell, a motion-activated floodlight cam. The starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/J&J. Ring.com/J&J. Take advantage of the Ring products. I love them. You will love them if you get them. Go to ring.com/JANDJ and build a ring of security around your home. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. Jalen Rose, it didn't feel like it, but there were three other games in the NBA playoffs last night that did not involve Dame Lillard. All I want to talk about is Dame Lillard, but because we're very serious journalists, we will cover some other topics. Last night, the Sixers didn't just close out the Nets series. They waxed the Nets in game five to win the series. Jalen Rose, Embiid contributed 23 points and 13 rebounds. He looked great. What do you think about the Sixers' performance?
Here's what I think. Other than the drama that I was able to get from Dame and Russ and whatever's going to happen with the Spurs and the Nuggets series, the playoffs in the second round officially kicks it off to me.
Yes.
Because the four teams in the East, the ones that get eliminated will be soul searching and not making their goals by not making it to the conference finals and or the NBA finals without LeBron. And in the West, we obviously have Rockets and Warriors. For the Sixers, I'm looking forward to seeing Jimmy Butler versus Kawhi Leonard. I'm looking forward to seeing Joel Embiid going up against stout defenders like Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. I'm looking to see Pascal Siakam play against Ben Simmons. Those are the matchups right there. Can Kyle Lowry knock down shots? This is going to be a phenomenal series, and everybody's going to be intrigued by it.
Well, you mentioned the Raptors, and they are in the second round courtesy of another win against the Magic. You remember that they lost that game one. It was a DJ Augustine three that took them. Ever since then, they've made very light work of the Magic. The Raptors beat the Magic in Toronto to close out that series, held Vucevic to, let me see here, 6 points. They completely erased Vucevic from this series. How did the Raptors make such light work of the Magic?
Well, they're a veteran-laden team if you look at them, and all of a sudden you add Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green's championship pedigree. It balances out your roster. You have Fred VanVleet, one of the best backup point guards in the game. Powell is giving them quality minutes on the wing. Like, they've been able to establish a level of depth over these past couple of seasons, which may be an advantage when they go against the Sixers, who have not been able to do so. So for the Raptors, this is why you bring in a Kawhi Leonard, to see if he can catapult you to the next level.
And one thing that was spoken about after game one, but then kind of went away, was the play of Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's kind of found his spot on this team. He's no longer asked to score over 20 points. He had 14 points, 9 assists. He's been playing really well, playing good defense. It seems like he's much better suited to be a floor general, a third or fourth option. Siakam scores a lot. Leonard scores a lot. They've got other weapons in Green and Gasol. Do you think that Kyle Lowry is better off now with this roster than he was in years past in the playoffs?
Absolutely. Because the chess match that's going to take place, I just laid it out for everybody. Okay, Danny Green on J.J. Redick. Pascal Siakam on Ben Simmons. These are going to be the matchups. Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler. And I talked to you about the bigs also. So now for Kyle Lowry, he gets a chance to ease into the game. Because usually he's going to be guarding somebody like McConnell when he comes in off the bench.
Yep.
They play him in two guard situations. So there will be times that he's stuck on J.J. Redick. But throughout the body of the game, Kyle Lowry's not going to have to play against the primary option. So therefore, it should not affect his offensive rhythm. And it should give him the opportunity to still stay fresh enough to make his open shots.
I mean, there's so much intrigue in this second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. I mean, these are the four teams we expected to be there, and these are all four teams that have NBA Finals expectations, if not championship expectations. So let's take a look at how these two teams, the Raptors and the Sixers, fared against each other during the season. They played, let's see, they played four games. The Raptors won three of them. Points per game, pretty close. Offensive efficiency, almost exactly the same. Field goal percentage, almost exactly the same. And also, you broke down these matchups. Take a look at them. They're right there in front of you. This is going to be very interesting. Like, I don't know who's going to win this series. I don't know who's going to win the Celtics series either, the Celtics against the Bucks. What do you think will happen looking at these matchups?
I think these teams are very evenly matched. I talked to you about who I think is going to be guarding who. Mm-hmm. I think a key player that gets overlooked in the Raptors' dynamic is the shooting of Danny Green. He was second in the NBA in three-point percentage. He's a knockdown shooter just like J.J. Redick represents for the Philadelphia 76ers. But the difference is, for the Sixers, he's their only knockdown shooter. The Toronto Raptors have a few guys that could get going from long range. So that three-point shooting is going to be a difference. Also, just look at body types. When you watch the Nets play, and you see Allen inside, and you see Davis inside, who wasn't able to participate in the last couple of games. These are slender guys.
Yep.
Okay? They don't have the bulk. They don't have a chance to play against Joel Embiid on the post. Now all of a sudden, he goes against a team that had pretty good success of taking away his layups and dunks and keeping him more perimeter oriented. And also, taking away Ben Simmons drives to the basket, because we know he's not a shooter outside of the paint. So we'll see now them able to collapse their defense and suffocate the post-up matchups, and now try to make the Philadelphia 76ers be a perimeter-oriented team. Would a real Jimmy Butler stand up? If he does, then the Sixers will win. If he does not, if we get the fourth, fifth option type Jimmy Butler and or Tobias Harris isn't able to get himself going like he did with the Clippers, not like he's playing with the Sixers, that will give the Sixers a chance to advance if that happens.
I mean, with Siakam and Ibaka and Gasol clogging up the middle, trying to, you know, take Embiid out of his game, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Redick and, like you said, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris to knock down the shots. They're going to get the opportunities, but we're just going to see if they can knock them down as they are expected to. So excited for the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I honestly have
no idea who is going to win.
I just can't hide it.
There is news that Ben Roethlisberger signed a 2-year extension with the Steelers. However, I would like to discuss his former teammate, Le'Veon Bell. The Jets had some voluntary workouts. And Le'Veon Bell, after missing an entire season of voluntary and involuntary workouts and games for the Steelers, did not show up to the Jets' voluntary workouts. Now, I understand they are voluntary. But Jalen Rose, don't you think after missing an entire season, signing with a new team, that you would show up to every little thing that you can just to show your commitment to your new team and fan base?
He already showed his commitment. He signed his contract. Boss move. What? You got to look at the position that he plays at running back. The wear and tear that is put on their bodies, in particular a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's going to be amongst the most used players this year, not only with carries, but with receptions out of the backfield. He's trying to make sure that he preserves himself.
Oh,
and
please.
So I don't take a big thing from him not showing up for the voluntary workout. Do
Jalen,
you?
Yes, I do. He missed an entire season. He spent it in Miami at the club while he was supposed to be playing for the Steelers. He signs to a new team. He's going to reinvigorate his career after an entire season off. And what else is he doing? Like, what else is he doing that's more important than showing up, just showing the coaches, showing the fans, showing the organization that you're committed to playing football after not playing football for an entire year? Just do it. It's not wear and tear. Oh, he's preserving his wear and tear. What do you think they're doing at these workouts? They hop on the treadmill. They do some stretches. They look at a little film. They work in some playbook stuff. They're not really working out. It's not wear and tear. He's just preserving his vacation time. Dog, you had an entire year of vacation time just for the fans. I know it's just a gesture, but for the fans, show up, put some shorts on with the Jets logo so we can get those pictures. Like, I really feel like he should have shown up for this. And I'm not just like overreacting, being a media jerk about it.
You are overreacting.
If I was him, I would have been there. That's all I've been
saying. You are overreacting.
I would have been there.
You said three times.
I would have been there on day one, and I would have been there early. How many times do you hear about players showing up early, and they're the first ones in and the last one out, and they're working so hard, and they showed up to every workout, voluntary, involuntary? That's what I want to hear about Le'Veon Bell. That's what I want to hear. That's
you
what I
said
want to hear, Jalen Rose.
Three times that he should show his commitment. You
yes.
said another three times he should do it for the fans. He did
I'm really
both.
Good at this.
He signed a contract, okay? That's what he did for the Jets. He signed a contract, which means when it is time to show up and it gets serious, he's going to be present.
I would be there. I would be there. Moving on. Le'Veon didn't play last year because he kind of didn't want to. Well, Carmelo Anthony didn't play last year because no team would pick
That's
him up.
Not true.
After a short
stint That's not true.
The Rockets.
It ain't that he didn't want to play. It's that Pittsburgh didn't pay him. And he was the first guy to sit out amongst the franchise tag.
I understand.
And now, like the Larry Bird rule, there's going to be a Le'Veon Bell rule. Game changer.
Okay, he is a game changer, but Carmelo Anthony, also a game changer. Remember Hoodie Mello from last year? He was playing basketball with a hood on. He's changed the game again. Let's take a look at Beanie Mello is here. He's now wearing a winter hat while working out on a warm spring day in New York City. This is absolutely insane to me. Could you ever play basketball in a winter hat in a warm gym?
I can and I have. Let me give a distinction. Of course.
What?
Yes. I'm from Michigan. Played in skull caps many a times. It's not a big deal. I play outside in the snow with jackets and skull caps on, okay? This is not a big deal. But here's the distinction I want to make. When Carmelo Anthony was rocking the hoodie, the first thing I came on this program to say that everybody overlooked is when you're rocking a hoodie, your peripheral vision is blocked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you ain't hitting people when they cutting, and you ain't definitely thinking about passing when you rocking the hoodie.
We're talking
about
Carmelo Anthony. You in me mode.
Now rocking the beanie, he can actually see the floor. So that lets you know how he has grown in his year or so being away from the game.
Well, tonight we have a big game in Houston. It is game five as they look to close out the Jazz. After the Jazz had a good win in game four, can the Rockets close the door on the Jazz season tonight? And we're putting
it on wax. The Rockets officially advance after this game. You got to give the Jazz credit for not being swept on their home floor. James Harden, Chris Paul, they understand a sense of urgency. PJ Tucker is already getting sized up for his matchup against Kevin Durant, a la Patrick Beverly. Hopefully they can get a healthy Clint Capella, who's dealt with a virus here recently. But yes, they understand no more games. Houston Rockets advance after tonight.
If the Rockets advance, will the Warriors join them and give us the series we've all been waiting for? They play the Clippers tonight at home. If both of those teams win, we get the best second round matchup that I can think of in my entire life. Will it happen? Will we tomorrow on this program preview the Rockets and the Warriors?
Yes. It's over now. You and me, babe.
Yes.
You treated me so bad. It's all over, baby.
We have the pleasure of having one of my favorite artists in the game in the studio. Schoolboy Q is here.
What's happening?
What's happening? Crash Talk is out Thursday night at midnight.
Yeah.
Anybody listen to music, Crash Talk, his new project.
Yeah.
But we want to talk to you about what happened last night. Late last night in the Trailblazers Thunder game. Dame Lillard hit that shot.
Bruh.
Look at it right here. What did you think about this shot from Dame Lillard? Just cold-blooded, And then the celebration afterwards.
Look, he knew it was in right there. He already knew.
He knew. And he waved goodbye to Thunder.
He knew exactly what he was going to do as soon as the ball was in his hand. He had no thought of going to the rim. He didn't care about somebody being open.
Mm-hmm.
He knew, I'm going to drain this mug from right here. Before he hit the ground, you can tell in his swagger, he already knew it was in. He already knew. And when I saw it, I already knew.
Yep, I knew everybody
it.
Else.
I knew it, and I couldn't believe it. I haven't seen nothing like that in a long time.
Jalen?
I agree. And Logo Lillard did shoot his team into the playoffs. Unfortunately, LeBron James was not able to do so with your Los Angeles Lakers. What were you thinking when Magic Johnson stepped down?
Man, I was hurt, you know what I mean? A little confused, you know? Like, why is he doing this? But I don't know, man. When you get money like that, man, you ain't got time for these type of problems. Like, you know what? I'm cool on y'all, bro. I'd rather just help. You know what I mean? I tried to get this dude. It didn't work. You know, we got LeBron now, too, and it still didn't work. You know what? I'm out of here, bro. I got a billion or something. I'll let you. LeBron, I'll let me when you retire. Magic out of here. So I kind of got
That's exactly how I felt about it as well. So do you believe that LeBron will be able to deliver a championship to the Lakers?
Yes, I believe so. I just think he needs some more pieces, man. He just needs some more pieces. I think that the Laker team is really good, honestly, but I just think they're better on different teams to me, some of the players.
And they do need more pieces. And even Magic Johnson said that he will help recruit more players this offseason. But there's another team in town, the Los Angeles Clippers.
I didn't even know they play.
You're a native Los Angelino, and people have that attitude, but they've got a better team. They also have two max spots open. As someone who's lived in LA,
they can offer me the last two spots max. You know, I'm still doing the sign.
So, you live in Los Angeles your entire life. Tell me what it's like. Like, why, even though the Clippers are a better team and a better, like, sort of franchise right now without the chaos of people leaving and Magic Johnson leaving, LeBron being unhappy, why do people that live in Los Angeles consider the Clippers sort of like a little brother?
Because they are. I mean, you ain't putting nothing up there. Like, you have to still put something up there, dude. Like, just winning is okay. Like, yeah, that's cool, but don't matter until you put something up there. You know what I mean? And being from LA, that's just how most of us grow up. Clipper fans are just people that's trying to be different to me.
Oh, so
you're just trying to be different. Like, I don't know how I'm a Laker fan. I don't know how I'm a Laker fan. It's just, I grew up being a Laker fan. You get what I'm saying? Simple as that.
So is there something geographical about which, who are Clippers fans, who are Lakers fans? Is it, like, what percentage of your friends are Clipper fans?
None of them. I don't meet Clipper fans. Who are they? Like, where are they? Where are they? And then when you, but no, actually, I do. Mike Green. Shout out. He on our label, TDE. He's not an artist, but he works with the label. He's a so-called Clipper.
So Billy Crystal and Mike Green are the only two Clipper fans. And Marcellus Wiley. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this is my thing. They never watching the Clipper game. How you a Clipper fan? You always watching a Laker game. I don't get it. Why are you always watching a Laker game, though?
Have you been to a Clipper game?
No.
You never?
Why would I do? They playing the Lakers?
And everybody I know from LA feels this exact same way. It's not like even like the Nets and Knicks. Like there's some Nets fans in Brooklyn or like the Jets and Giants. People still love the Jets. It's not like that in LA.
Nah, but you know what's crazy? I'm flip-flop with the baseball because I'm an Angels fan. So I get the slack.
Oh, yeah. So you're just trying to be different.
No,
so I know. You're one of those guys just trying to be different now, driving all the way to Anaheim.
That's the Clippers of baseball.
No, Garrett Anderson grew up on my block. Shout out. So okay. He was giving me tickets as a kid. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Garrett Anderson, one of the greatest Angels of all time. You know
when
what
you
mean?
Go when you go to the game.
Yeah, that's the only game I went to. That was all I knew was Angels. So I never knew nothing about the Dodgers until I got older.
I'm trying to make my kid a Knicks fan, but every time we go to the game, they get waxed by 30 points. And he's like, this team is trash.
Yeah, yeah, ain't nobody trying to go there for no popcorn over and over
like,
again.
We need Zion or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's the cotton candy?
Y'all going to get Zion, though.
We are.
Hey, Q, we hear that you're an avid golfer. Can you take a look at my golf swing and possibly give me some tips?
So this is Jalen Rose at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy Golf Tournament. Lining up a driver. Lefty, southpaw. So, Q, you golf every day.
Yeah.
What do you think about my brother's swing?
I can tell Jalen never shot under 100. I know that.
Never.
Hey, but man, I mean, it's a start, you know? Golf is just one of those things, man. I'm not going to lie to you, Jalen. You had a great NBA career, great college career, high school career. But you got to put just as much of that work in again for golf.
So you golf every day when you're
every
home.
Every day, I'm still putting work in.
For real?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that Hall of Fame level, Jalen. Come on, dog.
Who you golfing with? What time are you golfing? How's it happening?
I mean, me and Reggie play a lot. Dennis Haysbert. I just played with George Lopez the other day. I just play with Matt random people too, like, and my main dudes like my A&R Brock, my homeboy June.
Any medicinal on the course?
Of course. Come on.
Of
now.
Course.
You crazy? Come on, bro. You crazy?
Every hole?
You think I just rap about it? Come on, Doc. I'm out there. We out there.
I wanna make sure I give you a chance to reflect on the life and the legacy of somebody that you see that's hanging on our immortal wall right now in Nipsey Hussle.
Oh, man, the great, man. Nip is one of those guys, man, that everybody loved him, even if you didn't know the music, the way he rubbed off on you, you know? Like, a lot of people are wondering how, you know, how he was felt like this, and they probably wasn't a fan, but it's like, dude, he was felt like that because he touched somebody that you knew. You know what I mean? He was just that good of a person, and he looked out for the community. And the way he went out was just so disappointing and sad that I think it hit everybody across America. For somebody that good-hearted to get taken out that way was, like, I think one of the most disappointing things we done seen probably in years and years and years.
Facts.
It's so disappointing, especially for black people, as blacks as a whole. I feel so disappointed. It's like, you want to, you know, it's not fair. It's one of those things where you really sit there and say, it's not fair.
So this Thursday night at midnight, Crash Talk comes out. Num Num Juice is fire.
Yeah, good looking.
Chopsticks is fire. You released a new song today, Crash. Tell us about this project.
Oh man, Crash Talk. I mean, my whole life is, I've been crashing. Every time I get somewhere, I crash. Every time I get somewhere, I think I found a peak, I crash. It's just another level. It's just another level of me leveling up to myself and fully being myself and just letting you know about the crashes that I do have.
Everybody can look at that. That's coming out everywhere you listen to music, Thursday night at midnight, all on Friday. Schoolboy Q, Crash Talk coming out. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
to
you,
the studio.
Dog. Appreciate you.
We'll
dog.
Talk to you Jay, soon.
Appreciate you, love.
With that swing, bro.
We're not done. What's that, Kira?
We're not done. We're not done.
Got to give the people.
I love him.
Speaking of the Hobbits, let's talk about LeBron James.
All I care about is my nipples. Seriously.